Welcome back. Is Goldman Sachs too big to prosecute? Wall Street's asking that question a day after Goldman was subpoenaed by the Manhattan District Attorney's Office. Prosecutors want information on Goldman's role leading up to the credit crisis. Joining me now is Brad Hintz, a securities firm's analyst at Sanford C. Bernstein and the former CFO of Lehman Brothers. Brad, welcome back to Bottom Line. Always a pleasure to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
Is Goldman too big to prosecute?
They're too big to fail. They're too big for a criminal action to take them out. So can the Justice Department go after them? Absolutely. And what we saw yesterday with the action of the New York District Attorney Attorney General was the action of the Martin Act. The Martin Act's very, very powerful, and essentially you can go after someone for criminal without intention. So that's really quite different. So it allows you to do a very broad investigation. It's a much more powerful act than actually the federal acts.
Is it more limited in scope?
No. It's they can go after for civil issues, and they can go after them for criminal issues under Martin. So the Martin Act allows you to subpoena large numbers of documents. I don't think you're going to get anything new out of Goldman. Mm-hmm. They've come forward with millions and millions of documents, so all the information is out there regarding Goldman. But let's face it, this is a company that's in the eye of a storm.
Yeah, Brad, let me ask you, were you surprised by the subpoena?
No, not at all. I don't think Goldman, in our piece of research, we're not proposing that Goldman is going to walk away scot-free and is not going to continue to be vilified for a while. What we're simply recognizing is that Goldman is too important for the financial markets for a criminal charge to be made against Goldman, which would lead to an Anderson, a Drexel, a
Kidder. You believe it would roil the markets that much?
Well, certainly, you couldn't afford another Lehman to occur. And what we've seen since Anderson is the Justice Department has changed their policies in terms of dealing with criminal findings regarding a company. They don't treat them anymore like a hardened criminal, which could lead to their failure. Rather, the idea is that they're a juvenile delinquent that can be that can be supervised, that can be rehabilitated. And we've seen that in terms of there's something called the Thompson memo that the Justice Department has, which really forms the new standards for how they're going to treat anyone. So we're not saying that no one will find a technical wrong at a Goldman. What we're really saying is Goldman's trading as if it's Arthur Anderson. And it's not.
We had Neil Borosky, the former TARP official. He was on. He was interviewed by my colleague Deirdre Bolton earlier today. Wanted to play you some of what Neil had to say and get your reaction to it.
Sure.
It is almost inconceivable to me that the firm itself would get charged. The proof would have to be of such a pervasive fraud that is so ingrained in everything that company does. Because look, the bottom line is Goldman Sachs is still too big to fail. And if you indict a company, that day that company's gone.
And that's the observation of how linked Goldman is into all the capital markets. And so the action will be a much more cautious action. Now, this does not mean that we're not going to, the Goldman people are going to walk away with their reputation intact.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, as the last man standing, they're being vilified for all the sins of Wall Street.
Brad, let me ask you, a subpoena is not a finding of fact, but it is, in fact, a stain. Will there be changes in the executive suite?
That's something for the partners to decide and the board to decide for at Goldman. Let's recognize the CEO of Goldman took them through a very, very difficult time, and they were successful. Yeah. It's actually the success that they're being punished for. Certainly, there were, as an equity analyst, again, following
Absolutely,
Lehman
yes.
during that period, we certainly, I guess from my point of view, I viewed it as we were a little bit too they were too optimistic about their liquidity position. Mm-hmm. When they talked about the liquidity cushions that the firm had. And the problem with this is not a GAAP accounting issue. This is an issue which is liquidity is determined how a company determines it. Nonetheless, as a ex-treasurer, ex-CFO too, but ex-treasurer, I looked at it, many of the things they counted as liquid were less than liquid.
But it's almost being too optimistic doesn't mean that anything was done wrong. It just means you were, as you said, too optimistic.
Well, see, it leads you to an interesting issue, which is what is a disclosable issue as a CFO?
Yes, exactly.
And yet, if you disclose all your problems, you make your problems worse in a crisis of confidence.
And what is a disclosure issue? And then what is also proprietary information that you cannot disclose?
That's exactly right. It's in the end, it's in the eyes of the beholder, and unfortunately for many of the executives, you're really looking at these companies with 20/20 hindsight.
Absolutely. Easy to do if you're not in the middle of it, right?
Well, how many people on your who have been in this chair who knew that the mortgage market was melting down? Well, they know now in hindsight.
Yes, they
do.
At
the time, there were very few who knew.
Outstanding point, as always. Brad Hintz joining us. Brad, thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Always a pleasure to have you on. Thanks.
Pleasure.